Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the May 10th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. We're now 74 days away to the opening ceremony for the Tokyo Olympics in Japan. The ceremony will take place at the Olympic Stadium in Tokyo, a venue that will also stage athletics, one of the marquee Olympic events. As we look forward to the track and field action in Tokyo, one African athlete to keep an eye on is Ghanaian sprinter Benjamin Azamati, who will be making his Olympic debut. The 23-year-old Azamati recently set a Ghana national record by clocking 9.97 seconds to earn Olympic qualification at 100 meters. And over the weekend in Texas, where he attends a U.S. university, Benjamin also earned Olympic qualification at 200 meters. Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori reports from Accra, Ghana.
Ghanaian sprinter Benjamin Azamati at the weekend qualified for the men's 200 meters Tokyo Olympics race. Azamati made this achievement after running a time of 20.13 seconds at the Lone Star Conference Outdoor Track and Field Championships in Texas, USA. The Ghanaian top athlete, who has already qualified for the Tokyo 2020 Olympics 104 by 100 meters, won gold in 100 meters at 10.7 seconds for West Texas University. In another development, Ghanaians on Sunday, May 9, remembered football fans who died at the Accra Sports Stadium during a league match between Kumasi Asante Kotoko and Accra Hearts of Oak. The May 9 disaster occurred in the year 2001 when 126 football fans lost their lives after police fired tear gas into the crowd, resulting in a stampede. At the 20th ceremony was Ghana's Youth and Sports Minister, Mustafa Usif. The minister, in a speech, reminded football fans to pick lessons from what happened and the circumstances leading to the tragic loss. Another sports personality at the occasion was former Asante Kotoko Chief Executive Officer Herbert Mensah. The former chairman, who witnessed the tragic incident at the Accra Stadium, shared his sad feelings.
May 9th, 20 years on, 20 years on from a terrible tragedy. I gave my word then that I would make sure that nobody forgot. All those great warriors, great men and women and children. From Kumasi Asante Kotoko, Accra Hearts of Oak, neutrals, just Ghanaians who were in the stadium who lost their lives. A day never to be forgotten. And for those of us who were involved, you have to understand that the smell of the tear gas is still in my lungs and my nose. The smell, the sound of people crying and seeing the sight of people dead, carrying the bodies, encouraging others to be strong, will always be a part of my life that transcends everything else. This day, 20 years on, we have been honored by His Royal Highness Otumfo, and now also by His Excellency, the President of the Republic, Nana Addo Dankwa Akufo-Addo, being the first president to actually give audience to us. And I say thank you. Ghana thanks you. Those who have departed say thank you. May 9th is not about me. It's about our heroes.
That was former Chief Executive Officer of Kumasi Asante Kotoko, Herbert Mensah. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Ofori in Accra.
My name is Benjamin Azamati, a member of the quartet team that won gold for Ghana in the African Games that happened in Morocco, Rabat. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Benjamin Azamati is a student athlete at West Texas A&M University here in the United States. Texas is also where a record boxing crowd saw Mexican star Saul Canelo Alvarez add another title belt in the super middleweight division over the weekend. Canelo stopped Britain's Billy Joe Saunders when the English boxer didn't come out for the ninth round. The official attendance at AT&T Stadium near Dallas was 73,126. The stadium has a retractable roof, and the crowd set an indoor U.S. boxing attendance record. It's also the biggest sports crowd here in the USA during the pandemic. Saunders' corner threw in the towel before the ninth round while treating a cut under his right eye. It was his first loss in 31 prize fights. Canelo, meanwhile, added Saunders' WBO belt to his WBA and WBC title collection. Canelo says he would next like to fight American Caleb Plant, who holds the IBF super middleweight belt. Canelo, the Mexican boxing star, seeking to unify the super middleweight division. In more boxing news, Nigeria will not be represented at the Olympic boxing tournament in Tokyo. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with a former heavyweight boxing champion of Rivers State, Nigeria, the Big John Senebo.
What a big gem, Mike. Actually, Nigeria will not be presenting boxers in the upcoming Olympics game. And that is because Nigeria was not able to let its boxers go for the trials in our backyard, Senegal, West Africa. Yeah, just West Africa. Mike, it's so painful that the very sport that is the strong point of Nigeria, as far as sports is concerned, will not be able to present boxers in the upcoming Olympics just because Nigeria could not afford its boxers going to Senegal to partake in the trials that would have qualified them for the Olympics game. It's a big shame, man. If this was to be football, whether the Super Eagles, Flying Eagles, Wafu, CAF, Nigeria will always have money. Unfortunately, man, as I'm talking to you, Nigeria did not qualify for the male and female football events in the upcoming Olympics. Chan, we did not qualify. Wafu, no way. In fact, Rivers United, our own team here, was knocked out. So you see, Mike, when it comes to football, take a look at the expenses that will be made concerning football. But unfortunately, after keeping the boxers in camp in Lagos at the National Stadium, preparing for this same Olympic trials in Senegal, after weeks of keeping those boxers in camp, Nigeria told them to decamp and go home. The sports ministry told our Nigerian boxers to go back home, that there was not money for them to go to the Olympic trials in Senegal.
Do you think that if these boxers had been to Senegal, that they would have booked places, or that they would have booked their tickets for the Tokyo Olympic Games?
Very well, Mike. Of course, if Nigeria had presented its boxers in the trials in Senegal, we would have sure had our place in the Olympics game. There is no Olympics that Nigeria has not presented boxers. And as far as boxing is concerned in Africa, there is no country greater than Nigeria. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. Nigeria has won the highest title in boxing as far as Africa is concerned.
Can you recall the good old days, the medals Nigeria won at Olympic Games and some other international boxing events?
Boxing is the proof that it is the strong point in Nigerian sport. As early as 1964 Olympics, a Nigerian called Noji Maegun, is 80 years old right now, gave Nigeria her first Olympic medal, and he won a bronze medal in the 71 kg class, the light middleweight class. Noji Maegun gave Nigeria his first Olympic medal. Subsequently, boxers like Duncan Dokeware from River State, Samuel Lokon Peters, who won ahead to become a WBC heavyweight champion of the world. Talk about Richard Mayekun, David Nzorite, and a whole lot of them have gone to the Olympics team successfully and brought medals to Nigeria. We've won silver, we've won bronze, we've gone ahead to be the WBC heavyweight champion of the world. And it's not only about Samuel Lokon Peters. People like Henry Akinwade, people like Duncan Dokeware Akinwade, presently Anthony Joshua, who has a Nigerian blood running in veins. Herbie Hyde is a Nigerian who changed his name to Herbie Hyde when he went abroad. All these are world champions, okay? So Nigeria would have actually won a medal. Right now, one Nigeria who has done Nigeria so proud in the Olympics game is presently doing well and will also become a future champion. His name is Efe Ajagba. So you see, Mike, if Nigeria had presented boxers in this Olympics game, there is no way we wouldn't have won the medal. There was no way we wouldn't have made our mark in the Olympics.
Going forward, there are other international events scheduled for this year and next year. What will be your advice to the authorities, the ministry, and those in charge of boxing?
As I'm talking to you, Mike, I don't think that Nigeria will participate right now in sports in any international event. Let me tell you that this Honorable Minister for Sports, Sunday Dare, has dissolved all the 31 sporting associations in Nigeria. As I'm talking to you, plenty of these sporting associations have written to their bodies overseas and they've banned Nigeria from participating in any sport. So for right now, as I'm talking to you, the future of sports in Nigeria looks very gloomy. Right now, nothing is happening in sport. Judo just stopped Nigeria from participating in any international sporting event. And I'm sure boxing will follow suit and all the other 31 sporting associations will follow suit because of the action of Honorable Minister for Sports banning the 31 sporting associations for Nigeria.
I thought that the caretaker committee set up by the minister or the ministry will give the associations or the federations the leeway to participate in major events.
There is no need dissolving them and setting up a caretaker association. The expiration date is supposed to be June, sometime in June. We are in May. Why the hurry to dissolve them? These people are not happy who are members of the association. It's not just setting up caretaker bodies. We have people who are president, secretary, and the rest. Some of these new people that we are putting into the caretaker associations are not people who are holding the former position. I had thought that even if he wanted to dissolve this association, he would still retain the president, the secretary, and probably there would have been election for other members of the body. But most of these associations have entirely new people. Take for example, in boxing, the boxing president, the president of the Boxing Federation in Nigeria is a different person from the person that is now heading the caretaker committee. And all these people are angry. They've written as I talk to you now. A lot of them have written to their international bodies. And it's going to be a very bad thing for Nigeria if they begin to ban us. That means nothing will take place as it concerns sports in Nigeria.
That's the big John Sinubo, a former heavyweight boxing champion of Rivers State, Nigeria. And the big John spoke with Iron Mike Imbonye in Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
Sportings, greetings to you sports fans. This is John Sinubo, a.k.a. the Big John, boxing analyst, boxing promoter, here at River State and former River State heavyweight boxing champion. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Keep it locked right here. Thank you.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Prince Nesta returns to the show with another look at the weekend highlights in the major European club football leagues. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sunny. Goals from Ivorian striker Nicolas Pepe, English footballer Emil Smith-Rowe, and Brazilian playmaker Willian helped Arsenal cruise to a 3-1 win against West Brom, while relegating the Baggies in the process. It is the first time manager Sam Allardyce has suffered relegation from the Premier League top flight during his 17 campaigns. The Gunners will finish trophyless this season after their Europa League exit at the hands of Villarreal, are currently ninth place with 52 points, and still have a mathematical chance of playing European football next season. Here's their boss Mikel Arteta's take on the match.
Yeah, it's always the best way to put remedy to the pain that we had, to win the game, to score the three beautiful goals that we've done and created so many more chances. And as well, I think when we conceded the goal, we looked nervy for a period before we got Thomas on the pitch to recover some control. But overall, after not going through to the final, always very important to win the game.
That was Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta following his side's win against West Brom in the Premier League. Arsenal visit Chelsea on Wednesday, while West Brom will take on Liverpool on Sunday. Goals from Stuart Dallas, Patrick Bamford and Rodrigo Enough as Leeds United produced one of their best performances of the season to beat Tottenham Hotspur 3-1 at Elland Road. Bruno Fernandes, Mason Greenwood and Edinson Cavani also recorded their names on the score sheet to help Manchester United maintain their remarkable away record courtesy of a 3-1 away win at Aston Villa. The Red Devils are now unbeaten in their last 25 Premier League away games, while Aston Villa have lost 8 home Premier League matches this season. Here's their manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
I think the players are learning, developing, group in as a whole, getting better. You who's been on the stadium, you hear the spirit, the camaraderie, they back each other. There's competition for places. So very happy that we've done that twice now, of course. We've got a final to look forward to as well.
That was Manchester United's manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer after his team's comeback victory against Aston Villa in the Premier League. Senegal talisman Sadio Mane and Spanish footballer Thiago Alcantara both scored as Liverpool secured a 2-0 victory over Southampton at Anfield and kept their Champions League hopes alive. The Saints have earned only 11 points from their 18 Premier League games in 2021, fewer than any other side this season, and have also failed to score in 5 consecutive Premier League away games against Liverpool. The Reds face Manchester United on Thursday before visiting West Brom on Sunday. Manchester City were forced to wait for their third Premier League title in 4 years as Chelsea fought back to win 2-1 at the Etihad Stadium. Leicester City also suffered a shock 4-2 defeat to Newcastle United at the King Power Stadium following goals from Joe Willock, Paul Dummett and Callum Wilson, who added a double for the Magpies after the break, before Mark Albrighton and Nigerian striker Kelechi Iheanacho secured a second consolation goal for the Foxes. Moving on to the French League, Brazilian superstar Neymar was on target just a day after signing his contract extension, but French soccer giants Paris Saint-Germain secured a 1-1 draw at Rennes, a result that leaves Lille a step closer to a remarkable French League triumph. The Parisians led at halftime after Neymar's penalty kick, but French footballer of Guinean descent Serro Guirassy headed in a second-half equalizer. PSG are now 3 points adrift of league leaders Lille, who edge closer to their first French league title in 10 years, as a Turkish forward Burak Yılmaz's double and a Jonathan David strike inspired them to a 3-0 win over Lens. With 2 games left, the 2011 champions are now 4 points ahead of Paris Saint-Germain and look forward to become the third club other than Monaco and PSG to clinch the French league title since 2013. A goal from Belgian youngster of Congolese descent Elliot Matazo bolstered Monaco's hopes of Champions League qualification as Niko Kovac's men secured a 1-0 win. The 19-year-old sensation, who was signed from Anderlecht in 2018, struck in the 20th minute to ensure his side moved back up to third on 74 points, a point above Lyon, who secured a 4-1 win over Lorient thanks to goals from French footballer of Algerian descent Houssem Aouar, Lucas Paqueta and Bruno. Marseille remains fifth after they are comfortably defeated 1-0 by Saint-Etienne. Moving on to the Spanish league, Real Madrid missed the chance to go to the top of La Liga after playing out a dramatic 2-2 draw against Sevilla at the Alfredo Di Stefano Stadium. Fernando and Ivan Rakitic both recorded their names on the score sheet for Sevilla, but substitute Marco Asensio and Eden Hazard's injury time equalizer secured a point for the Los Blancos, who currently lie second in the table, 2 points behind Atletico Madrid, who also earned a 0-0 draw against third-place Barcelona. And finally in Italy, former Manchester United and Arsenal forward Alexis Sanchez was on the score sheet to ensure newly crowned Italian champions Inter Milan cruised to a 5-1 win against Sampdoria. The Nerazzurri, who picked up their first Scudetto in 11 years, currently top the Serie A standings with 85 points, 13 points above AC Milan, who hammered Juventus 3-0 to send the former champions out of the top four, thanks to goals from English footballer of Nigerian descent Fikayo Tomori, Ante Rebic and Spanish footballer of Moroccan descent Brahim Diaz. Juve, who currently lie fifth with 69 points, are in danger of playing Europa League next season in what would be a first year outside the Champions League since the 2011-2012 season. And Prince Nesta on the sunny side of sports.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Mitrović-Sredović, coach of Zambia national football team Chipolo Polo and former national coach of Uganda Cranes. You're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. The South African Football Association is expected to officially introduce the Belgian Hugo Brews as the new head coach of its men's national team this week. Brews signed a 5-year contract. Samson Omale has some reaction for us from both South African football officials and South African fans.
Brews was endorsed by the National Executive Committee of the South African Football Association. Buddha May is the deputy chairperson of the South Africa Football Association Technical Committee.
We admit as SAFA that in the past we have made mistakes, so we didn't want this time to make the same mistakes. That is why we went for a reputable coach with African experience.
SAFA president Danny Jordan is already setting the markers for Hugo Brews when it comes to player selection, with a preference for younger South African players.
So what we say to Brews, here is a list of future Bafana players, 65 of them. Two of them are on the verge of getting into the Premier League teams in England. Six are playing in Primeira Liga in Portugal, and others are graduating in the top leagues in Europe. Then you have a team that's going to the Olympics in a very tough group, but there you have a base for the building of the Bafana team.
South African fans are not left out as they react to the announcement of Hugo Brews as the new coach of Bafana Bafana.
I thought that we would get a local coach.
I support him because he's qualified for the job.
I'm not sure about the new coach because I don't think he understands the style of football we play in South Africa. And I don't think he'll bring anything different to the game.
I think it's a good thing that they have appointed someone from outside so that that person will be able to bring change to that team.
Hugo Brews will replace Molefe Nseke, who was sacked on the 31st of March 2021.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson Omale.
Sport greetings, everyone. This is Falilat Ugukoya, Olympic silver and bronze medalist, African record holder, ranked the best quarterfinaler in the world, 1998. You are listening to the sunny side of sport on Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contracting COVID-19. Thanks.
Thanks, Falilat.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA Sunny Young, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on The Voice of America. In more Olympic news, safety measures were literally put to the test in Tokyo on Sunday. A test event for athletics was held at the Olympic Stadium, as organizers fine-tune safety protocols ahead of the games. VOA's Gwen Uten has more details for us. Sporty greetings, Gwen!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. There are less than 3 months to go before the start of this summer's Tokyo Games, but a recent poll has found that nearly 60% of people in Japan are still opposed to the Olympic Games taking place due to concerns about the coronavirus pandemic. But during a Sunday news conference in Tokyo, World Athletics President Sebastian Coe insisted that organizing committees are taking the necessary precautions to ensure the upcoming games are held safely.
We are very empathetic to the need to be fully recognizing that communities around the world are inevitably nervous about many things related to COVID. And look, you know, we are all family people. You know, we have children, we have grandchildren, we have elderly and sometimes vulnerable relatives. So I understand this. I completely understand this. What I would say, though, as president of World Athletics, as respectfully as I can, is that we take those concerns very, very seriously. The COVID protocols, particularly that World Athletics have developed over the last year and a half by our health and science teams, who are extremely good at this, have consistently helped deliver events in a safe and secure environment.
Coe spoke on the same day that over 400 athletes competed in a test event at Olympic Stadium, the site of the opening and closing ceremonies. The event not only tested the athletes' readiness for competition, but also allowed organizers to fine-tune COVID-19 protective measures leading up to the games. The test event included U.S. sprinter and gold medalist Justin Gatlin, who told reporters the enforced protocol in Tokyo helped him feel safe.
I felt beyond safe. I've been tested every day, either saliva or nasal swab, every morning. The bubble has been very successful. The only time I've ever seen the outside is when we get on the bus to go to the track. We work out, then we go back to the hotel. We don't even eat in a cafeteria or a meeting ground. We take our food to our room and we eat in our room. I know a lot of athletes are not going to be happy with this, but the measures that are in place to keep everyone safe, you know, I think it's working.
Despite a state of emergency that has just been extended in Tokyo, Olympic organizers have successfully conducted more than 11 test events in the past month with no reported cases of coronavirus infections. As an added precaution, athletes participated in Sunday's event inside an empty stadium. And Justin Gatlin says after experiencing the safety measures firsthand, he believes the protocols are a step in the right direction.
Obviously, I think that this competition here was a precursor to see exactly how, you know, the Olympics can go off, maintaining a bubble for the athletes to be able to stay healthy, and also the citizens of Japan to be able to stay healthy with foreign athletes coming into the country. I think it was a success. Definitely different. It's going to be hard to adapt, but the caution is definitely needed.
Gatlin is a 5-time Olympic medalist and 12-time world champion in the 100 and 200 meter events. He won gold in the 100 meters at the 2004 Athens Olympics. And at age 39, he was the first to cross the finish line in that same event on Sunday. American track and field athletes have been training for 5 years for a chance to win gold at the Tokyo Games. But in order to qualify, they must first compete in the state of Oregon at this summer's U.S. Olympic track and field trials. The trials will take place from June 18th through the 27th and will include 61 races and 43 field contests. The athletes who finish in the top three of their event will book a ticket to the rescheduled Tokyo Games that are still set to begin on July 23rd. And that is all from me, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. And that's wraps up the May 10th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.